From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. On the program today, it's Stephen Allen and Doug Albert from the Lancaster British Brass Band. The band is celebrating their 10th anniversary with a special concert coming up this Saturday, May 10th, at the First United Methodist Church here in Lancaster. Doug and Stephen joined me to talk about the history of the Lancaster British Brass Band and the history of British brass bands in general.
I mean, they wear these incredible jackets. If you go online and look at some of these, and they've got incredible names, these British bands. You've got the Black Dyke Band, right? And you've got the Fairy Aviation Works Band. Black Dyke is actually a field, believe it or not.
Okay.
A field which a cotton mill was built on.
Coming up, it's Stephen Allen and Doug Albert from the Lancaster British Brass Band. And it's time for Shaunama Cinema. Today we welcome Shauna Stoltzfus back to the program for a look at what's going on in the Lancaster film scene. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. Coming up this week, our friends at Creative Works of Lancaster present He Comes for His Books, a new full-length play written by Chet Williamson, a local writer, actor, and musician. Chet is the author of over 20 novels and 100 short stories that have appeared in such notable publications as The New Yorker, Playboy, and Esquire. Don't miss his latest theatrical work, produced by Creative Works of Lancaster, at TELUS 360. It's this Thursday, May 8th through Saturday, May 10th. Showtime is 7 p.m. and tickets are only $15. TELUS 360 is located at 24 East King Street in Lancaster. You can visit creativelancaster.org for more details. Then on Saturday night, May 10th, Sam Campbell presents the 5th Gig Spots Showcase at the Lancaster Dispensing Company, featuring Angela Michelle Walker, Ali Wadsworth, and Satellite Hearts. Show starts at 9:30. It's at the Lancaster Dispensing Company, 33 North Market Street, right next to Lancaster's Central Market. It's the Gig Spots Showcase at DIPCO, Saturday, May 10th, 9:30. It's time once again for Shaunama Cinema, our monthly visit with Shauna Stoltzfus talking about film projects and screenings happening right here in Lancaster. Shauna is a writer, actor, filmmaker, journalist, and the creator of the 2013 Lancaster-based comedy series, Young Lancaster. It's Shaunama Cinema on Around the Wood Stove. Shauna, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
What is happening in the Lancaster film scene for May?
Well, I have a few things that I want to update the listeners on. The listeners. I like to picture the listeners huddled around like an old radio, like it's a lot of decades back. I don't think anyone listens to a podcast that way, but I really
you
like
could imagine
to think
them huddled around a classic iPod with a little USB, or not a USB, but like a little five and dime speakers.
Like, who listens to podcasts as like a group? I'm picturing like family listeners, like a family listening together. I don't know who does that. But anyway, I like to keep the listeners informed on, you know, projects that are going on in the area. There's actually one going on in the Philadelphia area that I'm personally excited about. It's called Consumption.
Okay.
It's a film set in the future, but sort of the near-ish future, when scientists have developed a supplement that extinguishes the need to eat.
Oh.
And so nobody eats. Instead, they take like a supplement, like a pill form, for their meals. And it really catches on because people can lose weight. They don't spend so much time cooking and all of that stuff that goes into eating.
Yeah.
To the point where it eventually becomes illegal to eat because it's seen as sort of putting the nation backward, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And progressive, forward-thinking people just take the supplement. And so it gets to the point where it's illegal to eat. There's a sanitation organization formed that sort of like takes care of the eaters, you know?
Okay.
And so then the protagonist, our main character, is Corinne. She's a college student. She has this desire for food, and she has to sort of keep it a secret. And she's, you know, very looked down upon because of this desire to eat. She wants to experience food. And she's really looked down upon for that. So I just think it's a freaking cool sounding project. It's written and directed by Brittany Rafalak, who is a Philly girl. She's a young filmmaker like me, 25. She's a Colorado native, but came to Philly for school, and I think is partly in New York a lot of the time. But she's the nicest person. I've met her once. She actually has asked me to play a small role in the film, which is very cool. So I'll be in a scene or two. And
would like will you be wearing a bib?
I hope so. I hope I'm wearing lots of bibs and just downing pills. I don't know. And so I'm just excited. And then a really cool thing that they're doing is for the premiere screening, which will probably be like next spring, they're going to have a live improvised score with, you know, real musicians playing real instruments.
What kind of movie is it? What's the genre?
I would say it's like a futuristic drama.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they're going to do a live improvised score at the premiere and record it. And then following that screening, that score will always accompany the film.
What a cool idea.
So it's really, really cool. And I'm just so excited for the project. I think it's awesome. I'm so excited to be a little part of it. And it's shooting in the Philadelphia area in August. So that's just a cool thing that I wanted to inform the listeners about.
Fantastic.
And then an update on Ushers, which is a film I keep bringing up. This is a film written and directed by Kyle Martin, who's from Lititz. It's loosely based on his own experiences working as a movie theater usher at Penn Cinema. It's a comedy about a group of ushers at a movie theater, and they're actually going to film it at Penn Cinema in June. So if you drive by Penn Cinema in June in the middle of the night, you'll see people filming. Although I guess nobody really does that. Penn Cinema's kind of out of the way.
Yeah.
Nobody drives by Penn Cinema in the middle of the night. But if you are, you'll see his team in there filming in the middle of the night at the actual Penn Cinema, which is really cool.
Yeah, it sounds like a great project. And the last I remember, they were looking for people. They were had a call.
Yeah, they were
out.
Looking to put their team together and their cast. I think they're just about done. They might have one or two really tiny roles to fill, but I just heard yesterday from Kyle, and he said that they're just about done casting. My buddy Josh Kerwin is in it.
Nice.
And a few other friends, so I'm really excited about it. And that's the update on Ushers. And then also I want to mention the 5-Minute Film Fest, which I talked about last time, but by the time this podcast airs, you can go online to lankfound.org and vote for your favorite 5-minute film. So that's really cool. So go online, vote for a film, and then there's the People's Choice Award, and there's a bunch of other awards that are handed out. And then they're going to screen the best of them at Zootropolis, Zune.
Yeah, in Zune.
June.
Yeah.
Zootropolis and Zune. In June, from the 6th to the 12th, they're going to film. They're going to screen the top films. So do that, too.
Did you submit anything for this?
I did not. I don't know what is happening, but I feel like April is the craziest month in the world. And
ever.
I feel like everyone I talk to is like, yeah, I don't have any time. Like, this is insane. So I don't know what's going on this year, but April is nuts, and I didn't get to it. But
hopefully some others did.
I think others did. I'm really excited to vote and to go see them.
Yeah,
I'm really excited about that. So,
Around the Wood Stove, we'll be taking a break in the summer.
Yeah.
This is we did it last year. We took a break in July, a 2-month break that ended up being a 6-month break. But this year, we're starting a new, I think what's going to be the trend in the future, and that's to stop podcasting for the summer. Everybody has other things to do. They want to be outside, run around, and do all summer stuff, including myself. So, we'll be off June, July, and August. Back in September, we're going to start doing just seasons and probably take a little time off around the holidays as well.
Cool.
So with that in mind, this is the last Shaunamah Cinema until we come back in the fall.
Yeah.
So do you have anything else you'd like to mention that's going to be happening over the summer for the listeners?
Yeah. Well, my miniseries, Young Lancaster, is currently on IndieRain.com. And is doing very well there. We're very proud of it.
Is it still trending?
It's still trending. We are getting cool comments and tweets from all over the world. It's a very, very cool thing that is happening. People really like it, which is so extremely kind. So it's on indierain.com, and all the information you can find on the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/younglancaster. This is a series that I wrote and acted in. And we're also doing a free screening at Zootropolis on July 14th. That's part of the Lancaster Summer Arts Fest. Zootropolis asked if we would be the film that they show. So it's free. It's July 14th. It's at Zootropolis. So come out for that.
And that's the full version where you show all the episodes?
That's the full thing. We're going to show all the episodes back to back. Yeah.
Right. Great.
Yeah.
Anything else going on this summer? At least that you know of now?
That I know of now, no. I mean, Usher's filming in June, Consumption filming in August. So I'm sure there's going to be a ton of film projects being worked on, but no, that's about it.
We'll look for an update in September. Thank you as always for stopping by and letting us know what's happening in the Lancaster film scene.
You're welcome.
Find out more about Shauna's latest project, Young Lancaster, on the show's Facebook page at facebook.com/younglancaster. Shauna will be back next month with another look at the Lancaster film scene. On the program today, we're talking about the Lancaster British Brass Band. With me is conductor Stephen Allen and cornet player Doug Albert. It's the 10th anniversary of the band, and they have a special anniversary concert coming up this week, Saturday, May 10th, at the First United Methodist Church here in Lancaster. We're going to find out all about the Lancaster British Brass Band on Around the Wood Stove. Steve, Doug, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So the British Brass Band consists of 28 players and a conductor. I do know that. It's all brass winds and percussion. But I have to start with this question that's been kind of nagging at me. What is it that makes a brass band British? And Steve, you would be the guy who can answer that question.
Yes, that's right. Because you can tell from my accent, I'm from the Bronx.
Right.
How you doing? Well, it's an interesting story. Adolf Sax, who everybody will know as the inventor of the saxophone,
okay.
He invented a whole series of brass instruments that basically are called conical bore. They begin thin and they gradually taper out. And this is very different from the standard orchestral instruments, the trumpet, the French horn, the trombone, that are cylindrical bore. They stay the same thickness all the way round up until like the last 3 or 4 inches where they flare out suddenly.
Yeah, right.
So Sax came up with this idea. Okay, I'm going to invent this. He stole some of these ideas from other people. In fact, I believe he was sued to near extinction. fortunately, not before he completed the process of these instruments. He created a whole family of them. So, for example, the instrument that Doug plays is the smallest. It's the E-flat soprano cornet. And we like to refer to this as sort of the cherry on the top of the sound. It's this really bright, almost angelic type of sound. And then we have about 8 or 9 B-flat cornets that are kind of relatives to the trumpet, and in fact were more common than the trumpet. For example, Louis Armstrong began his career as a cornet player, and the cornet dominated American music until the advent of jazz in the 1920s. Everybody played the cornet, and the trumpet was seen as a completely alien and very suspect because it was coming through jazz, a very sort of suspect instrument,
sure.
Right? Then we have the flugelhorn, which of course a lot of people know through jazz. I think Freddie Hubbard was one of the famous.
And Chuck Mangione.
Yeah, there you go. Some very famous jazz, and I think Miles Davis on occasion,
yes.
Too. The flugelhorn, this really rich, velvety kind of sound.
Okay.
Then instead of French horns, we have instruments that are called rather confusingly, in Europe, the tenor horn, and sometimes in America, the alto horn. It is actually the alto voice. If you think of a choir, the cornets are like the sopranos.
Okay.
The horns are like the altos. The euphoniums and baritones and trombones are like the baritones. And then the tubas are the basses. But it's a bit confusing because these instruments are known as tenor horns. But they're like pregnant flugelhorns. If you know, they're like large flugelhorns, and they've got this, again, very, very beautiful middle voice sound.
Right.
Then we have the baritones, 2 of those, and 2 euphoniums in B-flat. These are kind of like the big middle.
Mm-hmm.
We then have 2 tenor trombones and 1 bass trombone, and because they're the only instruments that are cylindrical bore, they tend to be the brass within the brass band. It's like they always add weight and power.
Okay.
Because the bass trombone especially. And then in the tuba section, we have 2 E-flat bass tubas and 2 B-flat bass tubas. And those are the big, you know, that's the kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly right. there's a Queen song called Fat Bottom Girls, You Make the Rocking World Go Round. Well, the brass band is a fat-bottomed girl.
Got it.
You know, it's got a big, big bass sound at the bottom, and then it's shaped like a pear. And then as you come up, it thins and thins and thins until you've got the soprano right on the top. So actually, Doug is really the main sort of top voice in this sound. And people always say it's this incredible warmth that you get from the group. They're expecting this shrillish, brassy sound, but it tends to be this incredibly warm sound. And this will grab the ears of these British miners, these northern working class folk who went down to the British Exhibition in 1851. They were offered free rail passes on the new railway lines. They fell in love with these instruments. They took them back to the north of England. And right at the time where British soccer was being reduced to however many a side it is, I think it's 11 a side, 12 a side, for competition purposes. So these brass bands were coordinated into a fixed number of instruments on each voice so they could compete. because the CEOs of these various mining companies realized, look, if we keep these guys out of the pubs where they ferment all these political conspiracy theories against us, if we can give them these instruments and make them upwardly mobile, this would be a good political thing to do. And so it just took off.
That's fascinating. So it gives them something to do, something to sort of come together as a team and work on something as a group.
And stay out of trouble.
Right.
Yeah. And there was definitely a status thing. I mean, they wear these incredible jackets. If you go online and look at some of these, and they've got incredible names, these British bands. You've got the Black Dyke Band. Right? And you've got the Fairy Aviation Works Band. Black Dyke is actually a field, believe it or not.
Okay.
A field which a cotton mill was built on. And the Fairy Band is like an aviation, you know. So the old joke in England is, when I grow up, I want to be either a dyke or a fairy. You know, this is the politically incorrect British sense of humour, okay? We have the Brighouse and Rashrick Band. The Grimthorpe Coilery Band is famous because of a movie with Ewan McGregor in it called Brassed Off, which is actually a sensational film about the Thatcher era and how Thatcher tried to shut down the mines and how these brass bands actually had to survive without that industrial support. Now there's hardly a band in England that has industrial support. Nearly all of them today are completely independent. But that is actually the roots of the whole thing.
So how did we get the Lancaster British Brass Band then? Why aren't we called something really cool?
Okay, over to Doug.
Well, we're called Lancaster British Brass Band because we're in Lancaster,
right?
And we do not have a corporate sponsor of any sort. So we traditionally will play in a church and take a free will offering at intermission. And the guys all play for free in the band. And we try to give them a few pennies for each mile that they've driven from New Jersey or Delaware or Maryland or Pennsylvania, wherever they're coming from. And that's how we got the name. I believe we could probably drop the British off of it by now. I think everyone knows what we do. But it was also interesting to hear Steve talk about Brassed Off, because that is the real indicator of why we are what we are. Paul Belser, our president and one of the founders of the band, he watched this movie. It came out in 1996. And he watched it, I believe he told me around 2000 he saw the movie in a theater. And he caught fire on the sound of British brass bands.
Is that right?
And we are here because of that movie. So, yeah, real exciting.
That movie's been responsible for a lot of that kind of activity, too.
Yes. So it was sort of revitalized that sound. Or in England, are these bands consistently just been going for 150 years?
They have. And in fact, the scene in England is actually now shrinking.
Oh, interesting.
It's interesting, yeah. It's. I think a lot of things are taken for granted, and sometimes there's political stuff that goes on that makes it, for a hobby, less than pleasant to be involved in, which is something we try not to do here. We try to keep it fun and happy and joyful. But in Europe, it's really taken off, and the phenomenal thing is over here, Americans really seem to love it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, you mentioned earlier that you're drawing players from all over the place, really.
Yes.
New Jersey and Delaware and Maryland and locally as well. What's that breakdown look like? Is it mostly Lancaster residents and then you draw a few people, or is it pretty split? How's that work?
I would say out of the 28, and this is without me figuring it out but I would say maybe 16 of those are from Lancaster County.
Okay.
And then you might get another 4 or 5 that are coming from close counties like Berks County. We have some guys up in the Reading area that are coming down, things like that. And then I'd say that last 7 are actually traveling pretty good to get here. We've had guys from Baltimore. We have 2 folks right now in the Delaware area that come in. And sometimes Steve brings, if we need a sub, he may bring someone in from New Jersey, something
right.
like that. So,
Steve, you're New Jersey based, right?
I am, yeah.
Right. Are there other British brass bands in the region that would be similar or comparable?
Yes, there are, yeah. I mean, I'm president of the North American Brass Band Association, and I've gotten to see, with great joy, actually, brass bands propping up all over the place. And in New Jersey, we have the Atlantic Brass Band, very good brass band based around Rowan University.
Okay.
The Princeton Brass Band, which I started 10 years ago, both of these bands have won the national championships in the last few years. Great you know, great standard. There's a band called the Imperial Brass Band around the Woodbridge area. There's also a band that meets in the north of Jersey, the New Amsterdam. So there's almost like a spine. There's almost like a connection. And any brass players that are living within sort of 20 miles of any of these areas can reasonably get to, you know, a localish brass band.
Yeah.
But they are cropping up all over the place, and it's growing.
Is the 10-year history of Lancaster's band the timeline that you're talking about when you say that it's growing? In other words, was it 10 years ago when things started to happen in North America?
Well, yeah.
Or 2 years ago.
Well, the Salvation Army, interesting enough, around the same time that we talked about in the 19th century with sax, the Salvation Army adopted brass bands as their missionary. You know, Salvation Army doesn't have an organ. It has a brass band, which does sound somewhat organ-like, but of course it's great for outdoor evangelical meetings. So the Salvation Army's missionary work brought brass bands over here. You know, so there's actually a strong Salvation Army culture in this country. But in 1982, they did start the North American Brass Band Association. And ever since then, if you want the terminology, the secular brass band movement has been really growing.
Okay.
You
know.
So what is that over like the last 30 years?
30 years or so.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting. Well, I think it's time to take a listen to some music instead of just talking about it. I have a clip from the Lancaster Brass Band here. This track is called Lux Arumqua, and it's a piece that I heard on your website. I really loved it. Can you set this up a little bit?
Yeah, I can give you a little bit of background on it. It's a beautiful choral piece written by a very well-known choral music writer, and his name is Eric Whitaker, and he wrote this. And our flugelhornist, Scott Luce, he decided to transcribe it for brass band, and then we ended up performing it. So just a lovely piece with, it just really goes for the wonderful sounds and the harmonies of a brass band.
Here it is. This is Lux Arumqua from the Lancaster British Brass Band. It's Around the Wood Stove. I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week, we bring you interviews with artists and those who make the arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. The podcast is and always will be free, so if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. Joining me today on the program, Stephen Allen and Doug Albert from the Lancaster British Brass Band. They're celebrating their 10th anniversary this year with a special concert coming up this weekend, Saturday, May 10th at 7:30 p.m. at First United Methodist Church in Lancaster. So what do you have special planned for this 10th anniversary concert? It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. I'll start by just saying that the music that was selected for this 10th anniversary concert is pretty much a greatest hits of our 10 years. Because every time we've performed, we try to do different music, and especially over those 10 years, we've tried to play at least 100, maybe 150 different pieces. But
wow.
These are the ones that we thought would, first of all, really excite the band and excite our audience that have come to kind of love what we do. So we're going to be starting. Well, the other thing that makes us special is we've actually commissioned a piece by well-known British composer Philip Spark. And we have him coming in. He's written a piece called Helmsley, and it's actually a tribute to our president of the band, Paul Belser. And it'll be the world premiere of the piece will be that evening of during that concert. And along with that, we're actually having Philip Spark come over from England.
Wow.
Yeah, to conduct that piece and to just be with us as we celebrate the 10 years and really celebrate the leadership that Paul Belser has brought to the band over that 10 years.
That's great. What's the turnover been like? In other words, are a lot of the folks who are playing now, have they been there these last 10 years?
It's been a very tight band. I would say with the original 28, I would guess that 22 of them are still
wow.
playing. Maybe something
That's
like
great.
That.
That's a yeah. testament to the yes. you know to the leadership. For sure.
And you know, we don't play all year round. We're kind of a seasonal band. We start up right around this time of year, and we have like three or four rehearsals, and then we do three concerts, shut it down, start again in the middle of July, do three concerts in August, and then we shut it down again. And I think Paul Belser's vision for this was to always make sure it felt special. And so we don't wear out our audiences. They don't have to every week be showing up to hear us play. So when we do end up performing, we often will fill a sanctuary in the area. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah.
How about Christmas time? Is that a big season for you?
We don't actually do it.
I'm surprised at that. I would think...
It might be something we have to think about in the future if we decide to expand and grow from here. But so far, we are not a holiday band.
Oh, that's interesting. We're going to take a listen to another clip here. This piece is called Tower Music. And I was curious about how these pieces are selected. In other words, who brings new music to the table?
We actually have a music committee, and Steve is definitely on that committee, plus about three or four other band members. And we usually meet once a year, and we'll get together and we'll try to map out the spring and the summer.
Okay, so you're prepared, series. Yeah.
Yeah, and each guy will come with a list of pieces he hopes to convince the other guys to do. And we will have a CD player there, and we'll have MP3 players out and everything. Everyone will have their computer, and we just start playing and listening to pieces and trying to think, is that the piece for the band next? And the significance of that Tower Music piece for us also is the fact that's the very first piece that the Lancaster Brass Band ever played.
Wow.
It was our introduction piece the very first year. So we're going to open the anniversary concert with Tower Music again, and very excited about that.
That's excellent. Let's have a listen to it. This is Tower Music from the Lancaster British Brass Band on Around the Wood Stove.
Thank you.
The Wood Stove House, we look forward to staying connected with you. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter under the handle Wood Stove House. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or sign up to get all of the Wood Stove House blog posts and podcast episodes delivered straight to your mailbox. Visit woodstovehouse.com and check the right-hand column for your options to stay in touch. And now back to our conversation. It's Steve Allen and Doug Albert from the Lancaster British Brass Band on Around the Wood Stove. So, 10th anniversary concert coming up this week. Now, how long have you been personally involved in the band? Doug, we'll start with you.
I've been with the band for the entire 10 years. There are actually three founding fathers of the band. Paul Belser, who we've talked about already. Rick Stahursky, who plays trombone in the band.
Okay.
There from the beginning. And Walter Blackburn, our very first conductor, and he stayed with us for the first 7 years. So Walter helped us grow to what we've become now. Steve's now starting his third year as conductor. And I got a phone call from Paul Belser 10 years ago saying, would you like to play the E-flat soprano part? And I kind of knew about British brass bands just from hearing them on recordings, and I knew what that meant. That E-flat part is very special to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately said yes, and haven't blinked since. I've been with the band the whole time. I'm also the kind of the unofficial, I guess, MC of the band during the concerts, just to keep things flowing. And unless they want to hear a British accent, then I hand it over to Steve.
So you just bring him in when you need, like,
whenever.
It's like the play-by-play guy and the color commentary.
If my throat's gone dry, I always call on Steve.
Bring in the reinforcements.
Yes.
So what else have you been doing musically, and what else do you have on your plate right now?
Well, I just retired from public school education. I retired from Lampeter Strasbourg. I was the orchestra director there and the music department chair there. So I've got time to try something new. So I've actually gone back to college. I'm a full-time college student at Bowman College in California. I'm doing it, obviously, as a distance learner.
Sure.
And I'm studying nutrition and nutritional consulting.
Well, that's fascinating. Is that something you've had an interest in for a long time?
For about 5 to 10 years that I just found myself always listening to podcasts and reading as much as I can and just finding out, you know, how to have food become almost your well-being and your medicine instead of maybe pharmaceuticals and just knowing the power of really good whole foods. So I do that, and then I play. I'm in some orchestras. I'm in the Allegro, which is a chamber orchestra here in Lancaster. I'm in that. I'm in a brass quintet called, this is a very tricky name, Quintessentially Brass.
All right.
And just do some freelancing.
That's great. Yeah. Congratulations on your retirement.
Thank you.
And we'll have Allegro actually on the program here coming up to talk about some of the summer concerts they have coming up. So
great.
I'm a fan. I got to see a performance last year at the Ware Center.
Thank you.
It was great. And Steve, how about you? I know you've been involved in a lot of things. I saw your resume.
No, you mean just Lancaster or just a general?
No, generally, yeah.
Well, I started out at 14 with asthma. And the doctors were like, it was the middle of the 60s, didn't know how to cure it. I had it very chronically. So they said, blow something. So I picked up the euphonium, which is like a small tuba, and started blowing that, and it helped cure me.
Wow.
And it was the only thing I could do really well. So I started out with some of the local brass bands, went to one of the only two colleges in the whole country that had a brass specialization, and then ended up at the Birmingham School of Music, where I got a degree in music. And then gave music up for 7 years to go into the full-time Christian ministry, came back into education again, got my PhD from Oxford University in Benjamin Britten's music. Nothing at all to do with brass bands, interestingly enough, but more to do with his operas and the sort of spiritual aspect of his work. And then when I moved over here with my wife, married an American girl, Laurel, and when we moved over here, someone suggested, why don't we start a brass band? So I started a brass band in Princeton, and we entered into the local national competitions, which the competitions always help the bands improve. So that became, it's a terrific social weekend too. And then I think it might have been either Doug or Paul that emailed me once or twice and said, would you be interested in coming out to conduct Lancaster? And it didn't quite happen once or twice, but the third time the stars aligned and it worked out. And I must admit, I love coming out here and working with this group. They're just a splendid group. Yeah. I mean, they're a splendid group. And especially for a Brit doing jazz arrangements, because, you know, here I am, a stuffed shirt, white British guy, right? And I'm surrounded by 30 rocking Americans that are swinging like crazy. It's a real, real treat. But I should also say the brass band does a wide range of music. We also do classical transcriptions and art music too. We try to feature one art type piece in every program, as alongside the lighter pop, rock, hymn tunes. So it's a very, very interesting repertoire that we do actually with the band here.
Well, where can people find you? So we have this 10th anniversary concert coming up this week, May 10th. But looking into the future, what's the future for the Lancaster Brass Band? And do you have some other dates where we can catch it? It's fascinating stuff.
You bet. So if you're not able to come to the May 10 concert, which I think you all should be there, we then take a short break and we start back up in August again. And we'll have three concerts in the Lancaster area in August. The first one is August 5th, and we're at Highland Presbyterian Church. August 7th, we're at Willow Valley down at the Cultural Center. I believe that one might be a private for their residents. But then we close out the 10th year on August 10th at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lancaster. And that's a 4 o'clock start. I say that to Steve to make sure he comes down from New Jersey in time to be there for that. So, and as far as how you find us otherwise, if you go to lancasterbbb.org. We have a website, and also we're on Facebook. So
that sounds great.
Yeah,
and we'll link up on the show post for today's episode. So if you just want to go to the show post, you can find the links there to reach out to the Lancaster British Brass Band and find out everything that's going on with them for the 10th year and beyond. Of course,
that's right.
Congratulations! Congratulations on your first 10 years, I'm sure that everybody's looking forward to 10 more at least and keep it going as long as you can. Doug, Steve, this has been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes to come down and talk to me about your 10th anniversary and everything that's happening with the Lancaster British Brass Band. Thank you.
Thank you.
You can find out more about today's program by visiting the show post at our website, woodstovehouse.com. And while you're there, you can check out past episodes of the program or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced by the Wood Stove House and Triforce Studios in Lancaster, PA. Check out Triforce online at triforceproaudio.com and find us online at woodstovehouse.com.